Welcome back. It's Bailey and Noakes here on National Signing Day, powered by TechSideline.com. Send us an email, kyle.bailey@cumulus.com, danny.noakes@cumulus.com, and you can find us all on the Twitter machine, at the Clubhouse KB, at Danny Noakes, and at Chris Coleman, TSL, from TechSideline.com, who's hanging out with us for about 20 more minutes. Don't forget, we got some UVA National Signing Day coverage coming your way at 5:05. Brad Franklin, Rivals Network, CavsCorner.com will swing by. And then at 5:35, we talk to Virginia Tech football coach Justin Fuente. For a moment, though, let's talk some basketball. Virginia Tech led pretty much start to finish last night against Syracuse in upstate New York. As a matter of fact, Syracuse did not take its first lead in that game until the overtime period. The Hokies were up by 7 with a little bit, I think, less than 2 minutes left to go. You and I both thought when Kerry Blackshear hit that tough shot off the glass to put Tech up by 7 that that was it. It was over. And they found a way to blow it, and they've now lost 5 straight.
I think you used the word melancholy before we went to break. And that pretty much describes, if you're a Tech basketball fan, that probably describes your mood from late November to early March every single year.
Yeah.
Just, especially this year. Because we're on the cusp of being a decent basketball team, right? And then things like that happen. We shouldn't have been in that game last night. If you just look at this matchup on paper, and you see that Syracuse was at home on Saturday. We were at Pitt on Sunday, which means we flew to Pittsburgh on Saturday, played a basketball game on Sunday night, then flew to Syracuse on late Sunday night, got up early on Saturday to practice. But we had one day on the road to prepare for that 2-3 matchup zone. We shouldn't have been in that. Most games that end up like that are blowouts.
That's
set up that way. I mean, Virginia Tech led it from start to finish in regulation, almost. 26-foot three-pointer by a guy who shoots 35% from three-point range, goes in. Virginia Tech made a couple of critical errors down the stretch.
Yeah.
Missed a couple of layups. Had a chance to leave it back for Kerry Blackshear on a dunk. Missed a free throw right before the game time three-pointer. It's always something, it's always something. And I will say this, looking at that Pitt lineup when we lost to Pitt, and, they got like 3 graduate transfers, redshirt seniors, and Louisville starts those 2 redshirt seniors, and Syracuse starts 2 redshirt seniors. And, we got our senior plays 5 minutes a game.
Yes, Shane Henry.
Right.
Yeah.
And our key cogs are sophomores, for the most part, with Lede and Allen being juniors, and a couple of really key guys being out. So we're not that far away, but at the same time we're 12-11, which is not good. We're in that frustrating part of the rebuild where, all right, you've made some progress, you can kind of see that light at the end of the tunnel, and it feels like you're running towards it, but at the same time it doesn't feel like you're getting any closer because you're still losing these close basketball games like this.
What was it? Seven of Tech's 10 ACC games have been decided by 5 points or less or overtime.
Yeah.
So far this season, I believe. Mm-hmm. They're 4-3 in those games. So they played a lot of close games. It's just, we say it all the time, but it's hard to really, it almost seems like sort of this abstract notion, learning how to win tight games, but that's kind of what it boils down to.
And on the road. I mean, going to starting in Pittsburgh, you mentioned that that's always a tough place to play,
sure.
But then you got to go to the Carrier Dome and go play Syracuse on the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's tough for any team to do. I don't care if Virginia Tech is where they are or if it's North Carolina. That's not going to be easy for anyone. And it was going well until the very end when Syracuse started knocking down shots. All of a sudden, the three started falling, and there were some mental lapses too. But
I the frustrating part is I thought we were going to get run. And
You told me that.
I'm glad we didn't, obviously. But the frustrating thing is you spend all day thinking, this isn't going to turn out well. But then you go out there and you play so well, and then you get your hopes up. And I had a buddy who was texting me the whole game, and he was like, we're going to get them tonight. And he said this before the game, and I was like, no, we're not, dude. Calm down. And then he kept texting me during the game. He's like, we got this. I'm like, look, just wait. They're going to break our hearts. And then finally that shot by Blackshear went down with like 2.5 minutes left, and I was like, yes, we're going to win. They cannot stop us now. They cannot win this basketball game. And then, boom, they did.
Yeah. And then Trevor Cooney's just suddenly emerged from his slumber. And
exactly.
Malachi Richardson hits that ridiculous fadeaway three against his body, which just got to tip your cap to the kid for hitting a shot like that. Then Benajay hits the prayer. I mean, it was a perfect
that
storm
was
of
bad. Bad shot by Benajay.
Oh, they took none of those threes were good shots. The Richardson shot was a bad shot. The Cooney shot was a bad shot. And the Benajay
shot.
The Benajay
shot, I mean, gosh, what was there, like 20 seconds left on the shot clock?
Yeah.
What are you doing, man?
I don't know. By the way, let's go to the phone lines. We got to check this out. We got Matt from way up in Wheeling, West Virginia, giving us a call on the Phillips Real Estate Hotline. Matt, what's going on, brother?
Oh, not much. How you guys doing?
Doing well. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, I just wanted to get a positive spin on today. Today was pretty bleak outlook. I mean, I followed the Twitter and all that stuff. It seemed like it was a pretty bad day for Hokie fans all across the country. I mean, what positive spins we got out of today?
Well, we touched on it some earlier in the show. I think the positive spins are that Justin Fuente had 2 months to recruit those guys, and the other coaches that are recruiting them had 2 years. And it's like in a football game when you find yourself in a long yardage situation. You got to throw the ball deep downfield, and on those deep throws, you don't have a high chance of success. You're going to get one every now and then. Tyrod Taylor was pretty good at that at Virginia Tech. Your third and 31 against Florida State comes to mind. But you don't want to put yourself in that situation very often. The key for Virginia Tech recruiting in 2017 is to put themselves in third and manageable on signing day. And you'll convert a lot higher percentage on in a situation like that. And the good thing is Fuente will have had a year to recruit those guys. And, he got us back in it with guys like Keith Sims, who weren't even considering Virginia Tech in October. And now, all of a sudden, they go from not on his list to finishing second.
I was just disappointed with losing Jaquan Bailey out on Iowa State. I mean, Matt Campbell just arrived from Toledo. I mean, that's really not even that big of a school at Iowa State. It's nice there, but that's not very impressive compared to Tech. I mean, I understand his twin brother went there, but it just wasn't very impressive in my opinion. I mean, I guess that was one of the knocks on Fuente when he was hired, but it's something that we've really got to improve on if we're going to get better and compete for ACC titles.
Yeah, and I hear you, Matt. These Justin Fuente and his staff make a lot of money. They don't need guys like me and Chris and Danny making excuses for them. But at the end of the day, when mama tells you to do something, you generally do it. You know, and when you're going to Iowa State or when your brother's full-ride scholarship is contingent upon you going there and mama says, hey, I want to see you both play at the same time. Your brother needs a scholarship.
And I want both of you on scholarship.
And I want
rather
both
than
of you on
of
scholarship because I'm not paying for school. I mean, look, it happens. Man, family trumps everything else. You get that.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, there's been a lot of misses we've had in the past, but you can't really put it on Fuente. I understand that. Beamer lost out on Marquise Williams, or he'd probably still have a job.
I think it was more about Frank deciding it was time. I mean, he is a Hall of Famer after all. But how's the weather in Wheeling, buddy?
Oh, it's 65 degrees. It's pretty nice up here.
It's surprising for this time of year.
Yeah, a little bit.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Anytime, buddy. Thank you for calling. It's all Matt right. Up in Wheeling, West Virginia, giving us a call on the Phillips Real Estate Hotline. In the spirit of time, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll save a few minutes for the final segment with Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. His final thoughts on National Signing Day, and if you want to bounce a question off of him, send us an email, kyle.bailey@cumulus.com, danny.noakes@cumulus.com, or find us on Twitter, @TheClubhouseKB and @DannyNoakes. Keep it locked. Super Sports 101.7.